This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. Spiritual spaces are where people come to meet, pray, grieve, and celebrate important moments like births and weddings. It's a lot of work for one church or temple or mosque to provide the proper venue for life's diverse experiences. For centuries, religion has sparked the design of some of the world's most beautiful buildings. But what is that process? What built elements make a space sacred? In this next story from The Spiritual Edge, KALW's Angela Johnston goes to find out.
Architect Susie Colliver says experiencing the design of a sacred space begins way before you even step foot in a building.
So we're in the parking lot of Kol Shofar.
That's a synagogue in Tiburon. We're surrounded by eucalyptus trees and grassy hills in the distance. The building is actually nowhere in sight. There's a twisting set of concrete stairs ahead of us. They wind around the trees, taking you 40 feet up the hill.
You leave the parking lot behind. You leave the everyday, you leave the secular behind. As you climb slowly, it's a very gentle rise of stairs.
We walk up the stairs. Colliver points out the concrete landings. They are imprinted with leaves from the trees above, and each landing has a bench.
It feels very doable. It feels very accessible. And psychologically, that's important, especially for people who are not as agile.
At the top, the synagogue finally comes into view. Its natural exterior blends into its surrounding. Colliver designed it 4 years ago. She's Jewish, but through her work designing low-income housing for religious groups, she's created sacred spaces for communities of all different faiths.
The hope is that from the parking lot, up the curved stairs, that one is going through a process of quieting.
This is what you might hear walking through the entryway on a Saturday morning.
We're going to start with Ma Tovu, the prayer that's said upon entering a place of prayer.
That's the congregation's Rabbi Chai Levi.
It says, "How good are your tents, Jacob?"
Along with music, light seeps through gaps in the walls of this curved hallway.
Not unlike being in a forest, the light is coming through slatted wood. So the light is hitting every piece of wood along the curved path a little differently.
That's because before Colliver even begins putting pen to paper, she asks a committee of community members a central question: to recall a place where they felt most connected to a spirit beyond themselves.
It's very rare that somebody will say a cathedral. It's far more likely in our experience that they'll say a sunset on the beach, or they'll say a mountaintop with an endless view, or they'll say a grove of trees with dappled light coming through.
You can feel this as you emerge into an open, round space, the sanctuary. It feels like the center of a redwood grove. The curved rows of seating are colored with a burnt red fabric, matching the bark of the trees nearby. They wrap around the central bima, or pulpit.
People frequently let out a sigh. I think people feel a small sense of awe. And it's pretty palpable. You see it on faces a lot. You can hear it in people's breath.
Sitting in a service, you'd see Levi in the center, and also the faces of about 100 others.
When you're praying, you're seeing the face of the other, and that the divine dwells in that holy space where humans connect.
Levi says as soon as you put two people together, God is in the mix. It's something the rabbi and the committee wanted in Colliver's design.
I see both the beauty of people having prayerful experiences, and then also, you know, I see, honestly, the faces of people struggling with whatever they're going through in their lives.
Not only can people see one another clearly in the round, they can also see changes outside. Right above us is what Susie Colliver says is an important detail. There's a tradition in Judaism that the day starts not at midnight and not at daybreak, but actually when you can see the first three stars in the evening.
We gave them skylights through which you could discern when the new day had started by virtue of being able to see the stars. That was hugely important to them.
The design engages not just sight, but sound. Colliver says the congregation wanted to make sure everyone could hear each other.
We find that in many of the sacred spaces we're doing now, there is more emphasis put on participation than there is on sitting quietly and listening. The more important the room acoustics become, because it's less a single point of sound and more a communal experience.
That's true at Kol Shofar, where Rabbi Levy likes to lead interactive discussions. She also likes to lead the community in dancing, like at this recent children's service.
People holding hands and getting in a long line and dancing around. So, yeah, we were a community that wants to celebrate and feel joy together, and so having a space that people could dance in was definitely important.
So we're going to end with a prayer, with the words from the psalm that we sang earlier this morning.
When you look up to the ceiling from the bima, you'll notice a simple metal chandelier and a vaulted dome, which is offset from the center of the room. Colliver says this asymmetry is very intentional.
If it were symmetrical, there would be a suggestion that A, perfection is attainable, which we know it is not. We all have issues, we all have struggles, we all have conflict, and that conflict is made physical in this space. And people feel that very, very carefully.
Architect Susie Colliver says encouraging the search for meaning in the mundane is what spiritual architecture is all about. Whether it's the design of a synagogue, church, or a mosque. In Tiburon, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.
For more stories on belief, belonging, and practice, visit the Spiritual Edge Project at spiritualedge.org.